Broadcasting live from the beautiful Renaissance Atlanta Waverly Hotel and Convention Center, it's TyCon Southeast 2014. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here at TyCon Southeast. We're broadcasting live in the beautiful Waverly Hotel, and I got with me one of the, the co-founder of Seed, seedschools.in.
Yes, Seed Schools in based in India.
And what are you guys doing for folks? This is Harish Mamtani.
So we've started investing in low-cost schools in India with the clear focus to improve the quality of education. And this is probably a global problem that occurs where the quality of education is low, can't find qualified teachers. So we're addressing those problems, but specifically in the low-cost segment, which charge around $20 a month average fee for students.
And then this is a strictly online school?
No, these are physical infrastructures. These are plain schools just like here, but kids come to school. Online is not feasible in this segment in school because the cost of the equipment and infrastructure is quite high.
So then it's less expensive to have a school and with teachers and all that? That's less than online?
It is, because the systems aren't there. To buy a computer and to have the internet infrastructure is quite expensive, but also teachers are needed. And specifically also, we don't believe in just pure online education, so we just cannot say to kids, here's your data materials, right, go learn on your own. We still need the teachers. But we are using technology very effectively to improve the quality.
Now, so what does the school look like? Is it like kind of the old one-room schoolhouse where they all go to one place, or it's a traditional where there's different grades, and how does it work?
Yeah, it's a traditional school. So we have a nursery through 10th. They have separate classrooms. Although there are schools in the low-cost segment that are just purely one class where six, seven classes take place at the same time. But in our school, we have separate classrooms. And there's a segment called affordable private schools. These are schools that charge up to $25 a month, and they're considered in the low-cost segment. And there's, in the bottom of the pyramid there is they charge about 250 rupees, which is about $4 or $5 a month. So that's the range. Ours is about 17 a month, so we do provide proper infrastructure. They obviously don't have air conditioners, but we have fans, we have computers, we have projectors to make sure that we can deploy the right kind of education.
And then how do you determine the curriculum?
So curriculum is pretty much decided by the state board. Up to fifth grade is open, and beyond that, the state board decides it. But where we really make a difference is in the delivery piece, with how teachers deliver the education and the lessons in the classroom. That's really where the system is breaking down. In India, we are not able to find qualified teachers. To give you an example, we interviewed a teacher about a year ago, and she had difficulty explaining the difference between a square and a rectangle. Couldn't conceptualize it because mainly these teachers have also been taught through rote learning, mm-hmm. and not their fault. They've just come out of the same broken system.
Now, so, where do you get the teachers?
From the local community.
So you have to teach the teachers?
Yeah, so we've really thought about that. You know, how can we teach them 15 or 18 years worth of content? So that's not feasible. How about if we just give them the content that they're supposed to deliver in the classroom, but make sure they have passion to teach, that they can articulate well, they can speak in English, because these are all English-spoken schools. So those are the features we look for in teachers, but then we give them the content, and this made a phenomenal difference in the classroom.
And then so you kind of ease them into it, like
yeah.
one grade at a time or one subject at a time?
Yeah, so these teachers teach specific subjects. So we have math teachers, we have science teachers, English, the local languages, social sciences. So teachers have their own area of expertise.
Right.
But then we're now preparing content that they can use in the classroom.
And then so, like, would you take a math teacher that is new at teaching math, or maybe they know a little bit about math, and then slowly give them more math so they can teach a more advanced student?
Absolutely, if they can cope up with it and keep
right.
up with it. So we have primary and secondary classes, so we hire teachers based on their skill set. But at the same time, then we give them content. If they're performing well, we keep escalating them.
Giving them more and more, as much as they can handle, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we've seen with this content in their hand, they've become almost a different kind of teacher because they don't have to worry about how to describe the materials.
Right.
And it's already ready for them. And also the dynamic in the classroom has changed now because teacher's not facing the board. He or she's facing the students. And they can see which student's not following or zoning out, and they bring them back. And they can walk around the classroom because these are materials being projected on the screen.
Right.
So when they're walking around, they can see if the student gets something wrong. They bring them to the board, help them work it. And then also we're changing the classroom structure where first the teacher teaches, the kids work on their own. Then we have them do in a group setting. And which of the skill sets we need now is like teamwork, individual work. So we're trying to incorporate all that in one classroom.
Now, do you find that that's something that you're not seeing very often is where the kids are teaching each other?
Not at all in India, but we are starting to implement that in our classroom.
And doesn't that fast forward the growth for the kid?
Absolutely.
Right? Because the teacher of the other children learns more by teaching, and then the other kids may learn better from hearing it from a peer, right?
Absolutely. So we break the classroom. It's a 40-minute classroom. Mm-hmm. So part of about 10 minutes of that classroom is where they work in a group setting. And then kids who are doing well help the other kids.
So now how do you help the kid that's not getting it? Like, so they don't fall through the cracks and then kind of like lose interest or drop out?
Yeah. So a couple ways is one is in the classroom. If we see a kid is not getting it, we bring them to the board, work with them one-on-one. Other kids help them. Before they leave the classroom, we make sure they understand it. And although sometimes they do fall through the cracks.
Right.
And then we catch them in the assessment piece and then bring it back and say, okay, was this a piece that all the kids missed, some of the kids missed? And based on that, then we...
And then you can improve the curriculum, right? If you can see, like, if everybody's missing it, maybe it's a problem that we created of not communicating it right.
Absolutely. In fact, we just did a pre-assessment for second grade in math. Mm-hmm. And these are topics that should have been covered before. Kids scored about average of 36%, which is quite horrible. Post this lessons through digital content, we gave them a post-assessment test, and average score was about 80%.
Wow. That's dramatic?
That dramatic. And what we see in a traditional classroom, we don't see those kind of scores.
Right.
Even assuming these kids had not learned those subtopics before, they scored 36. But we see if they're taught in the classroom setting, that doesn't happen. But because of the digital content, it's making a phenomenal difference.
Now, is this something, I know it's starting in India and there's probably a big market there. Is it going to expand into other, do you think it would work in like other cultures?
Absolutely. You know, the problems we're seeing in India are not much different than problems here, even developed in developing countries. They're the same problems. Qualified teachers, interested teachers.
Right.
How do they teach in the classroom? So the magnitudes are different. Now in India you have 250 million plus kids versus, you know, so and they're starting, they don't have the computers, they don't have the infrastructure. So the magnitudes are different, but generally problems are the same. So absolutely we can deploy these same kind of technologies and systems in other places.
Now, what about like here in America? We're having terrible graduation rates. We're having terrible success of, you know, the kids learning and getting jobs afterwards. Can it be deployed here, or is there too much bureaucracy here?
No, I think the systems are more advanced here. I think there are good things that are working here as well. In India, we're trying to do this in a very low-cost manner.
Right, but we're not getting the results
here.
I think, quite frankly,
I think it's more cultural. You know, because in India, if they don't get an education, their careers are pretty much over.
Right.
Here, if you think about it, even if you finish high school and you start working in a, you know, minimum wage job, you can still have a decent life. Not so the case in India.
Uh-huh.
You know, the difference is quite dramatic. So the education is very important. And we see parents actually spending about 13 to 15% of their income for their children's education, which is quite significant.
Right.
We've seen... parents who will sacrifice their lifestyles just to make sure they go to a good school. So the culturally is very different.
So you think that these same techniques could work like in Africa?
Absolutely. I think that's more feasible because, again, we're trying to create this in a low-cost environment. I think the systems here are more advanced. There are good systems are available. Now, you know, how do we engage the kids and how do we keep them interested is a different problem.
That's a different challenge,
Yeah.
So now let's talk a little bit about Thai. How does your work here in Thai go? What are you spending your time doing with the organization?
So with Thai, I've been involved since very early days. I was just president in 2007. I was on the board of directors here for Atlanta chapter, and now I'm serving on the global board of directors, which works with all the chapters, 60-plus chapters.
Right. So Thai started out in Silicon Valley,
correct?
Right? But it's a global organization.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta chapter is one of the top chapters in terms of engagement and participation?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, in many ways, we're a role model for the global chapters. A lot of chapters look up to us because activity level here is very high and very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I'm traveling, I've been to Hong Kong, to Singapore, to Delhi, Bombay. All those chapters are doing well in their own ways. But, you know, Houston chapters. And so they're looking to us as things that we're doing here
that like best practices.
Absolutely.
And you were trying to disseminate the best practices.
And the leadership here has done a very good job, and the executive directors, Ashish and Katie, of helping other chapters. So now they actually not only help Atlanta, they've got a system where they speak to each other on a regular basis and share what's working here, what are challenges, and at the same time get ideas from other chapters.
Now, when you look around the room here, it's a pretty diverse crowd. Is that the way it is in all Thai chapters?
It is. I've been to probably about 10, 12 chapters now. And similar. Atlanta, I would say, is probably more diverse than I've seen.
Because it started as an Indian-American group?
Here.
In Silicon Valley?
Yeah, it did. But even there is very diverse. So there's a big ThaiCon coming up next month.
Uh-huh.
And it'll probably be 3,000, 4,000 people there.
Wow.
And it's quite diverse. And, you know, you see people from different backgrounds, but mainly technology-oriented. And in Atlanta, we actually have tried to diversify that away from technology.
Right. I noticed that there's manufacturers, there's all kinds of businesses here, where some of the business organizations focus on technology.
Right.
Now, for you personally, what made you want to get involved with Thai?
So I started in 99 as I was working in Merrill Lynch at that time, so it was a sort of good way to network. And the more I got engaged, the more heavily I got pulled in, because it's just a great organization. And the way I did my business was I got involved with organizations that I was passionate about. And Thai was definitely one of them, and Atlanta CEO Council is another one,
mm-hmm.
where I've also served on the board and as president. And those are two organizations where I feel that there's the right kind of connection.
It's a mission-driven,
yeah.
right?
And it didn't change from about getting business to just working with the organization. The business came over a period of time. As we've heard, you know, if you follow your passion,
right.
It's very similarly, I stayed with it. And it took 2 or 3 years before I got some substantial business from these organizations or from the people who are involved in here. But it does take that. And again, it was all about passion to make sure I stayed connected. And it's been great in terms of building network. A lot of my friends are from here. A lot of my friends have become charter members since.
Right. It must be rewarding to see so many young people around here that are getting the entrepreneur bug that maybe they wouldn't have gotten if they had just not known about it.
Absolutely. That's phenomenal. In fact, one of the TYE participants from a couple of years ago is now actually helping us create content for our schools in India.
Wow.
So I met him here.
Full circle, right?
So in fact, it should be the other way. But he approached me and asked me that, you know, I want to teach English in India. How can we do it? So we bounced ideas for a while. I said, why don't you come to India, come spend some time in the school, see what the infrastructure is, what the challenges are. And to their credit, two of them came, spent their own personal funds.
Wow.
And spent about a week in India with us and came back, and we talked about ideas, and now they're developing content which will be delivered in the classroom, and they will help train the teachers. So again, that's been really good to see the younger generation getting involved in Thai.
Now, for seed schools, what is it that you need? What can we do to help you?
Capital, as always. So we're actually investing in more schools. We have one school that we own right now and another school that
we
manage.
So you actually own the school?
Yeah.
So and then you are looking for funds to own more schools to help more kids?
Yeah. And, you know, like Thai, our focus is to get the right leadership and right people in place.
And those the leadership of that individual school?
School. And even at our seed level. So seed is a management company, and then we manage these schools. So at Seed, we've been able to attract some very talented people who are IIT graduates, which is the best known university in India,
uh-huh.
Georgia Tech masters, people who have been engineers. So we're getting a right kind of talent who are really passionate about education. At the school level, we're doing the same thing. Get the right leaders who can then help the teachers, help the other staff. It's very similar to how we build technology companies here. So we're using the same lessons and fundamentals and starting to employ
but
them.
But you're just aiming them at schools. Right.
Sorry.
So, but you're taking those same techniques and then just putting it in schools instead of software.
Absolutely. In low-cost schools, and we think we can improve it. And for now we have two schools that we're managing. Next year we're trying to get 3 more, then we'll add 10 more. And as long as we can keep managing them and not lose the quality, we'll keep growing them.
Now, do you have to build the school from scratch, or are you going into existing buildings?
We're going into existing buildings. And interestingly, you know, because there's been so much investment and there's an opportunity for people to make money, there has been an overdevelopment of schools in India. And you don't hear much of shortage of anything in India.
Right.
But there is an overcapacity in schools. So we're actually taking those existing schools, but really focusing on changing the quality. And it's a social venture. I mean, there'll be money to be made, but it's really the focus on building quality first.
Right, and helping educate the kids.
Yeah, if we do the right things there, you know, the finances will
take care
of itself.
All right, if somebody wanted to learn more and help, website?
Yeah, so it's seedschools.in.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you so much.
This is Lee Cantor. We'll be back in a few from TICON Southeast 2014.